My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app. And of course, you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be their next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome. Joining us right now on the Backyard Guest Hotline, our pal Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. What's up, Kevin?
It's time to get Rick. You know what? This is, I know that every single week, Eric wakes up on a Friday morning and he says to himself, this is the best time of the week, 7 o'clock on Friday mornings. I know he has a beautiful family. He's hanging out with his best friends doing his radio show. But this moment is the highlight of his week. And I appreciate it.
If you ever had a good movie to review, I'd be excited.
If I ever had a good movie to review. I've been on your show since November 18th, 2005.
Like, right.
I've reviewed some pretty big movies
on
this show.
We're coming up on 20 years
Nothing that I'm interested in the last couple of years.
You didn't like Top Gun?
20 years.
I did like Top Gun.
Well, that's the last couple of years.
Okay, you like one.
There's some big movies. In the last 20 years, The Dark Knight.
By the way, Kevin, you reviewed, can't remember the name of it. Is it Strange Darling? Is that the name of it?
Sir.
And you said you loved it. I think the next day, maybe it was earlier this week, maybe Monday.
Yeah.
Someone called up and said, meh. you know what? Not seeing it.
See, this is one of the most frustrating things about you, Jason Bishop. Let me just say something.
He influenced me. Sorry.
Yeah, but why is one random person's
because when you're on the fence, it puts you over.
But you should hold Kevin in higher regard because you've known him for longer, and he's a professional.
I know, but I need everybody to say it's really
you
good.
You need everybody to agree.
Yes. Unanimity.
Yeah.
And I can't have it.
There are people who don't like Top Gun Maverick. Would that throw you over the edge?
I didn't like the weird football scene.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
Beach. It was bizarre.
Stupid.
It was strange.
That was stupid.
But overall, it was good.
A callback.
It was entertaining.
But the Top Gun Maverick, we went as a group. We went as a show.
Didn't we? That's true.
I don't think so. I didn't.
We went as a show at Roadhouse.
I thought we went to see Top Gun with.
I think he's right.
Didn't we see the year before?
Well, with who?
It was the same movie theater.
With all the listeners.
I missed it. I think it was on the vacay.
Yeah, we went
remember
with
the
all
fire
the
alarm went off in the middle of it?
Apparently he doesn't remember.
I pretty much had to go.
I've been to theaters where all of a sudden they just go black. Like they lose power.
Right.
That happened to me a few times.
That was the one in Tyson's, didn't we?
Yes, you're correct.
So it was kind of a show
thing. It was obviously unimportant to me.
Yeah, you
time to get Rick.
Anyway.
All right, so Beetlejuice is getting hyped up a lot right now. I don't think it comes out this weekend. What are you hearing about Beetlejuice?
Yeah, I mean, so it's funny because I was lucky enough to go to New York a couple weeks ago to sit down with that whole cast. And I've, you know, that first Beetlejuice is 1988, so it's 36 years ago. I was 4 years old. Eric was already 30 at that point. and, you know, I find it, like, it's interesting when you think of sequels and you go, okay, what's really worth bringing back, what's not worth bringing back? And Tim Burton stepping back in the director's chair to direct a sequel 36 years later is kind of cool. And a lot of the cast has returned, Winona Ryder, Michael Keaton, Catherine O'Hara. And I had was very lucky to be able to sit down with that, basically that entire cast.
I saw Catherine O'Hara on a clip doing the Kevin bit with you that kind of threw you, that you loved it. You were lapping that up.
Dude, so it was, yeah, so one of the interviews I did was Catherine O'Hara and Jenna Ortega.
Yeah.
And Jenna Ortega, obviously, a huge star right now, Wednesday, Scream 5. It's funny. So all my life, people have screamed Kevin at me, like the way Catherine screams it in Home Alone. And that was always like a huge movie for me growing up or whatever. I didn't ask her to do it. We were in the middle of an interview. I had brought up the fact that she shouts names. She does it in Beetlejuice, and she shouts names in Home Alone. And, you know, the interview kept going 2-3 minutes later. And then as I was closing, she looked at me and said, "May I?" And then just screamed Kevin. And Jenna Ortega sitting there, like, looking at my face, and I'm freaked out. Not only did she scream Kevin, she stopped and said, "You know what? I don't think I did it that great. Let me do it one more time for you." And then she did it again. And I was like thankful the cameras were on for that. But yeah, she was wonderful. Michael Keaton, that to me was, you know, you're sitting across from Michael Keaton, and I forget, dude, he did Batman and Beetlejuice a year apart. And those are both Tim Burton.
Hey, and Kev, Michael's I know you've interviewed Blake Lively. Was she ever a mean girl to you?
No, she's always, I've never had any issues with Blake Lively. I've interviewed her.
You never thought she was a snob?
No, not at all. I mean, again, one of the things that I find fascinating about that whole Blake Lively situation, anything can be skewed and anything can be narratively driven to an audience through an algorithm. If you take one clip of somebody from an interview 15 years ago, whatever, 10 years ago, and you put it against another interview or you clip it together with other clips, I think that's the scariest thing about the internet, that a person's complete career can be shifted in tone based on a narrative. And listen, I don't know anything about the behind the scenes. I know exactly what you guys know in terms of the stories that have been pushed out into the media about this. I do think we need to be a little more hesitant about the way we take in media, genuinely. I mean, like, anybody can pull clips and make somebody look bad if it's done in a certain context. So I've sat down with Blake Lively 5 times, and she's always been super nice to me. I sat down with her for a simple favor with Anna Kendrick. I sat down with her for The Shallows. I sat down with her for Age of Adeline. I think she's super sweet. But again, I also, a lot of people always say to me, like, you know, are you friends with these actors? Like, no. I mean, like if they come across as nice, like Tom Cruise, when I'm talking to Tom Cruise on the red carpet, I feel, and I think the way the camera makes, you know, the way the interview set up, that I'm the only person that matters to him in that moment.
Yeah, he's just good at that. He seems like he's good at that.
Right. And listen, I don't know Tom Cruise at all. I know nothing about the guy. But I do know that when I'm standing in front of him for 3 or 4 minutes, that he gives me his full undivided attention.
Yeah, he locks in on you. It's cool.
Right. So I could say Tom Cruise is the nicest person on the planet, but I only can gauge that from a collective 30 minutes I've spent with him over the years. Mm-hmm.
But you know, some guys are douches. I mean, Tommy Lee Jones was a douche to you.
It's so interesting. The Tommy Lee Jones situation, I've told the story before. I'll be brief. It was him, Will Smith, and Josh Brolin for Men in Black 3. And I was going down the hallway, and I'd gotten Josh, and he was great. Will Smith was like, met me at the door. "Kevin, how you doing?" It was incredible. And then I had gotten to Tommy Lee Jones's room, and everybody in the hallway was basically like, you know, this is going to be one of the hardest interviews you ever do.
What a nightmare.
But I also think it's also reading the room and understanding just his personality. Like, I remember the first interview I did with him, that interview, I walked out. I felt like I failed because he just gave like very short answers. And the irony of it all was that like, I got through like, whatever, like 8 or 9 questions and they were like one word answers. And then years later, I got him again for Ad Astra, and I asked one question, it was a 6-minute answer. And I just don't understand. And what that kind of gave me perspective on is like, everybody has different moods and different days. Mm-hmm. And like, for me, it took me forever. I wouldn't use the D word for Tommy Lee Jones. The two experiences I've had with him, one was bad and one was really good. And so Harrison Ford, I told someone this the other day, over the years, I've been lucky enough to sit down with enough people enough times that I can actually start to figure them out. So like Harrison Ford took me 5 interviews to figure him out, because the first 5 interviews I ever did with Harrison Ford, he was so cold. And I didn't understand why.
So how did
why.
You turn him?
Well, it's not that I turned him. I just understood what he's interested in talking about. Like, Harrison Ford doesn't care about fandom. He doesn't want you to walk in the room and be like, oh my God, it's Indiana Jones. Oh my God, it's Han Solo.
He doesn't want you to show him the movie stub.
He probably wants to talk about like landing his plane like in the on the wrong runway, like in California, and almost like crashing into a big 747.
No, Ford would not care if I pulled my ticket stub out. You know who didn't care about my ticket stub? Bruce Willis. Like there's just like certain dudes.
Well, he probably didn't remember the movie.
No. That's not nice. Bruce Willis. I that is not a nice comment.
It's a joke, Kevin.
No, I know, but that is a really serious thing.
Oh, oh my God. God. Oh, everything's serious.
No, I know. But in terms of the Bruce Willis moment was years ago. It was for Die Hard 5. But the tone of interviewing Bruce Willis, he just didn't care about a ticket stub.
He didn't want to be there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Ford.
He didn't care about you. And
Kevin.
You, all about you.
We only got a couple minutes left.
I can't believe there were five diehards.
Is there anything for us to watch on demand, on Netflix?
Sure, we're going to watch. It's
watching anything.
Football week one.
We're not watching anything on Netflix this weekend.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, we're getting back into football season.
It's football season, Papa.
You don't care about football.
It's so funny, dude. The other day, I was in Baltimore a couple weeks ago. Went to see Slipknot at the Chesapeake Bank Arena, and I'm walking around. I'm like, why is everybody wearing Ravens jerseys? And I was like, because I guess it was a preseason game or something. I had no idea.
Because you're in Baltimore, Rick.
Baltimore, you idiot.
No. There was an actual game. Okay. I think it was a Friday night. I think it was.
Yeah, like there has to be a game for people to rock purple in Baltimore.
No, but it was like an absurd amount of purple.
You're gonna
that's like a Super Bowl. You got to go to a Ravens game, then the Slipknot concert right afterwards.
That's quite a double dip.
You're gonna notice when you go to Pittsburgh, everybody's in like black, like the whole city.
Yeah,
black
all the yinzers.
Like literally, like the bridges are painted yellow.
He's going to a silly spot.
No, I know. But
be wearing
no jerseys.
They're not
going to
wear George Pickens jerseys all over the golf course he's at.
That's true.
What do you guys think of the new name of the Commander Stadium?
Northwest Stadium?
I think it's awful, but whatever. It's a corporate sponsor.
It's a sponsor.
They could be the Northwest Junkies if they would pay us enough.
Yeah, well, the Commander's name is terrible anyway.
Well,
they need to get rid
of
that too.
Right. Yeah, so. What would you name him, Kev? Be honest. No shtick.
I'm not doing any bits. I like Washington Football Team.
There's something to be said for that.
Some people did
There's
like
something
that.
To be said for that.
I think it sounds Commander sounds like a minor league team.
It just does.
It doesn't sound like an NFL team.
It's just so boring.
Jason just sighed, by the way.
What?
I just noticed a big old sigh.
When Kevin talks sports, punch out.
I mean, I'm usually out anyway. We just talk movies, but
he just took a deep sigh.
You should welcome him. He's talking sports. You love sports so much.
I know, but
it's time for him to go. The best moment of that whole moment just now is that Eric was actually engaged for a second.
Well, I like when you talk about
is the most he's ever talked to you.
No, I like when he talks about his interviews with the celebrities. I don't care about the movies. The movies are all awful. The movie industry's in the toilet. Everything's a remake or a comic thing. I'm out. But when he talks about interviewing Tommy Lee Jones or Harrison Ford, I do find that interesting.
All right, 30 seconds, just a quick breakdown. Go see Strange Darling. Don't listen to Jason. Twisters is on demand now. If you missed it in theaters, you can watch it in your home. I also want to point out that next week is Beetlejuice in theaters. Also, And then I'm going to give him, you know what? I'm going to bring this back real quick. Movies people sleep on.
All right.
And I used to do this back in the show. There's a movie called Ex Machina that I want to bring
up.
I'm
sure I sleep on Ex Machina.
Isn't that one like up for a billion awards?
It's so good.
Yeah. No, dude.
It's really good.
Oh, Donald Gleason.
I don't know if you like it, but it's good.
Is it even in English?
Isn't like half woman, half robot?
It's definitely about a female robot. It's kind of hot.
Yeah.
She's definitely hot.
Well, I'm not into hot robot takes. That's probably Drabby's fetish. That's not mine.
All right, Kevin.
All right, guys.
All right. All right. See you, buddy.
It's Kevin McCarthy. Love Kevin McCarthy TV.
JP.
I'd rather interview a robot
than Kevin.
I mean, it's a Friday. I should be happy.
The ending of Ex Machina, I'm not going to ruin it for anybody. The ending of it really sticks with you. In case you ever decide to watch,
take your word for
it. I saw the movie. Don't remember the ending.
Stuck with me.
I'm pretty sure I'll die. Never seen that movie.
You sleep a little bit on. Is it Alicia Vikander, the female lead? You sleep a little bit.
The sexy robot.
Yeah, she's a sexy Swedish robot. Mm.
Uh huh. Does she have an OnlyFans?
You would want to pwn it. I guarantee you that.
You don't need the OnlyFans. She's naked in the movie.
Really?
Look, this is
you. Look how happy Drab was saying that.
Sleep. Fully asleep on that.
All right, just tell me your name. I'll look her up. Is she better than Alexandria Daddario?
She's on Mr. Skin.
She's
on
that level. But she's...
No, she's on that level.
You think she is?
What's her
very
name?
Very cute. Alicia Vikander. V-I-K-A-N-D-E-R.
I don't even know how to spell Alicia.
Just put Vikander in your search bar and she's going to come up. It's not that difficult.
Vikander, Swedish actress.
Yes, yep. That's her.
Hanging out with Eric Carlson.
Yeah. You know why you like her?
A lot of Swede representation on the show today.
She looks like she's way younger than she is. That's why you like her.
Well, she ain't that old. She's 35.
She's mid-30s.
Yeah.
I wish I was 35.
Michael Fassbender. Did you mention that?
I did not mention Michael Fassbender.
Yeah. Did you know that she was married to him?
I think I knew that.
Oh.
I've heard he has a gigantic hog. I've heard that through the Rumorville.
You and your buddies talk about that kind
of stuff? Yeah, we talk about that all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we'll talk a little Washington Commanders as we hit the Skins here on the Junkies.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Time now to hit the Skins, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the Skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. Grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies to get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great.
All right, big deal. Everybody was all excited that they brought Noah Brown in, right? Traded John Ridgeway, opened up a spot, signed Noah Brown. Vet's been around for a while, has had some moments, certainly had some big games last year, Cakes.
He did.
And a lot of people were making a big deal about the fact that Jaden Daniels and he were staying after practice to work on their game. Their connection. A lot of people were just so excited that Jaden was working with this guy after practice. I just think that's who he is, man. I'm not surprised at all.
That's what his character is.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a new wide receiver in the room. He wants to get familiar with him before the season starts. Puts in the extra work. You'd love to see that from a young player.
It's great. According to Coach Quinn, it was Jaden's idea to work with Brown after practice. And so they could try to get on that same page, before week one, which is coming up. It's around the corner. So it's a great sign, but I don't think anybody should be surprised. This guy, Jaden, is like passing every test. Just absolutely love this guy and his work ethic. Can't wait until the real bullets start flying here, Cakes. How many days away are we from opening day?
Nine.
Of the Commanders?
Right? Yeah,
for the Commanders.
4 p.m. on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Six for the NFL.
It's either 4 or 4:25. I'm not sure the exact time.
I think it's 4:25.
I'll look it up.
My daughter has a noon game at the Naval Academy on Sunday.
Okay. It'll be done by 2, right?
I think by 2.
Yeah, you're good.
I think you'll be good.
See, you usually complain about the 4 o'clock kicks.
I know, that's the one I like.
Yeah, that's right.
The press gaggle, were you able to get that audio, Valdez? We're in front of
4:25 kick.
That's perfect for me.
There you have it.
Noah Brown yesterday in front of his locker, including our buddy JP Finley. I'm stealing this audio from JP's Twitter account. So here you go. Here's Noah Brown, kind of our introduction to him.
I assume you had a couple of options after you moved on from Houston. Why did you decide this was a good place?
Kind of like I mentioned before, I'm familiar with some faces in the building. Faces are familiar with me. They know what I'm about, know what I can bring to this team. And I feel like it's a good opportunity for me to go help a program, and I'm excited to be here.
Yo, what do you feel you do bring?
I think I bring a little bit of everything when it comes to the offensive mindset. You know, I'm a very viable pass option. I can block in a blocking game, have experience in a special teams game, and I'm willing to do all of it. So, I'm just ready to contribute.
What was it like getting that work in with Jaden, and what do you think of the rookie quarterback quickly?
It was great. You know, today was my first day out there. You know, I've heard nothing but great things about him, and, you know, today felt nothing short of that. You know, I'm impressed with how he operates, how he takes control of things, and wanted to get some extra work in, so we got that done, and excited to get on the right track.
Jason, I'm going to test you here. Noah Brown from where? You're an expert on where people are from.
I know he went to Ohio State.
You have a read on him.
Seems like
I'm going to say he's from Georgia.
Incorrect. He is from Flanders, New Jersey.
Oh.
Oh, there you go.
Northeastern guy.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
Valdez will probably be playing golf in New Jersey next weekend. Every time I hear he's in a different state playing golf. Good for him.
All right, we have some audio also. I just love to play these audio clips of Adam Peters. Okay, he's got a bunch of clips here. We don't have to go through all of them, obviously, but some of the more interesting ones.
Is this from the Grand Danny Show?
Yeah, I think so. This is the first clip when asked how you balance rebuilding versus winning.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could do them both at the same time. So it's not so much a tug of war. It is a balance. And make no mistake about it. I've said this, and I'm probably repeating myself a few times. It's not a rebuild. It's a recalibration. And we are trying to win right now. And we do have goals to be really good this season. But it is my job as a general manager, and really in conjunction with DQ, and we make every decision together, is to be good now and to build for a sustainable team for the future, to a team that you guys will see compete for championships every year.
That's great. I just don't understand the reluctance.
What was that for?
I don't know. It's kind of talking in circles, but it's okay.
GMs don't want to say rebuild.
It's so stupid.
Because Rizzo never liked it.
You just fired 30 people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got 30 new players on the team. It's a freaking rebuild. Who cares?
Highly successful guys like him. They don't want to say the rebuild tag.
It's very weird.
He's so dumb.
Like he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, if you lose, oh, don't worry, we're rebuilding. It's part of the rebuilding process.
Yeah.
And then if you win, it goes, yeah, but we're trying to win right now.
Right.
We're trying to make the playoffs. We're trying to make a run.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Was that what Rizzo said? Rizzo wouldn't like rebuild.
Yeah, all these guys. I think it's because.
I don't know if he said recalibrate. He was using a different term a couple seasons ago.
It's like reload, maybe.
I think he did reload.
I think it was reload. Reload is the...
I know what the
buzzword.
I think I know what they're get. They don't want fans to think, oh, I don't have to pay attention to them because they're going to be awful.
Right.
So we're not going to say rebuild. We're going to say recalibrate, and we're still going to be competitive. But, you know, we're not stupid. Fans can see. You just freaking turned over 70% of the roster. But you know, it's a dumb little thing, but it is kind of
he
annoying.
He can label it however he wants. We know what's going on.
You took a nuclear bomb.
And it's okay.
When
you win four games, you have to rebuild it. That's your job.
Everyone knows that.
I know.
Everyone knows
just
it.
Accept it. Why, we're just playing word games. Whole world is word games.
I mean, that's what these guys do. I mean, talk to the media a billion times. Well,
maybe he's telling people that because everyone got over their skis because comparing them to the Texans, thinking that they're going to make a playoff run.
But then you would say rebuild, right? Recalibration makes it seem like, it's just a little tweak here and we're going to be off and running. Are you kidding?
It's just a different word.
Now, listen, I do think they could go on a run if the quarterback gets hot. But who knows what the hell is going to happen? No idea. Scared to death, our corners are going to get torched. All right, here you go. Number three over here from Grant Dan. Great interview these guys did. How do you view success this year? This is Adam Peters.
Yeah, I think you do get into trouble looking too far down the road. And so, again, you know, you're probably going to get a radio show full of cliches here, but we're really... I mean, every single day we're trying to get better, and I think that's how we look at it. And if we got better today, we had a really good day of practice today. Guys looked really good. The guys were into it before we have a three-day break before we get back and start working for Tampa. So we went out and got a lot better today, I thought. And that's the outlook you have each day, each week. You're getting better, and you're stacking up days. And then if you do that and you get better each day, you're going to like what it looks like at the end of the year.
I mean, Commanders fans should be overjoyed at Adam Peters being here. He's the most sought after personnel guy on the market. He's here, and more importantly, he's not Ron Rivera picking the players going forward for this team.
No, he seems
should be
like
thrilled.
So far, even though I get annoyed that he's not using the term rebuild, seems like a great guy.
Yes,
you know,
seems like
very thoughtful,
very capable hands,
measured. Yeah. It's great, but just
speaking of Ron Rivera, he got another gig with the NFL Network. I believe he's going to be on every Wednesday.
I saw.
And now he's going to be part of their Sunday coverage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he going to fold his arms on set?
I won't watch him for one millisecond.
Yeah.
Because I know that anything that comes out of his mouth is garbage.
I feel like he's got the football acumen of Kevin. Honestly.
He stinks. I saw him light fire to this roster. You think I'm going to listen to him talk about upcoming games and break down personnel?
Somebody told me.
Have you ever killing Ron? I actually like the guy.
He's a very nice person.
I know. You know? I like
He's just really bad he as should, both a coach and a personnel guy.
He should own.
I would agree.
You know what he should do?
He should own a bar.
You know, it'd be like, you know, he should be like a host at a restaurant. Like, you know, use his personality. You know, nice, charming person. Sling some drinks. You should not be coaching football.
He's such a dinosaur. He has a cigarette machine in his bar.
Somebody told me, it's not one of you guys, I don't think. It was somebody that said, I can't remember who it was. He said, you know, the 85 Bears, you know, and Ron was part of one guy that followed that team or said they were the number one defense because we were number one and we had Ron Rivera. Like he was the weak link on the defense.
I don't go into any conversation. Not prepared.
We were the number one defense, and we had Ron Rivera.
Right, we had that anchor on our defense.
We're just killing him.
That's so stupid.
We're just killing him.
No, I can't remember who it was. It was somebody that covers football or something that was telling me that story. And then he wasn't
Richard Dent. He wasn't the fridge, but he was on the
Singletary.
Team.
He was an NFL player.
Yeah, exactly. He was a bum on the best defense.
You hate him.
And somebody pointed this out that when he was
his riding coattails.
He's a passenger. Yes.
When he was the top dog, when he had his big years in Carolina, obviously Cam was big, right? And then the offensive coordinator, I think it was the guy from Buffalo. Was he the offensive coordinator for him?
It was defensive coordinator.
McDermott may have been the defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
McDermott. Who was his offensive coordinator?
His OC in Carolina.
Look it up. But it's like when those coaches left, right in the toilet. In other words, his whole life is a fraud. He's a fraud.
But he's not attacking him
he
as a person.
He was in the NFL.
Not at all.
He's
and
only
then
attacking
he became
his,
a defensive coordinator. I mean, he worked his way up to become a head coach to defend him a little bit. Right. Believe me, he's mediocre as a head coach.
When you come over here and you nuke my team the way he did,
if the Commanders win 10 games this year,
yeah,
are you going to discredit Dan Quinn because he hired Cliff Kingsbury?
Am I going to...
You're discrediting Ron Rivera because you're saying he had a really good offensive coordinator.
Right? So what are you saying?
Why are you knocking him for having a really good offensive coordinator?
Well, I'm just saying, his success was when he had that offensive coordinator. When he lost him, and he lost, actually, it's the defensive guy that they were talking about. When they lost McDermott, I think they went in the toilet, too.
Okay.
I think
Norv was an offensive coordinator.
And he's supposed
to
be the defensive guy.
Yeah, but Luke Kuechly got hurt. They had a lot of issues.
There's probably a bunch
Norman
of
left.
Issues, yeah.
Was it's just not that cut and dry.
Norman wasn't that good.
He was in Carolina.
Okay, we came here. He was butt.
Yeah,
right after Carolina. Came straight here.
But he was good at one point.
He was a good zone corner. You know what that means? Cakes could do it.
Why did Ron Shrapnel? Ron, by the way, in 2013 with the Panthers, his OC was Mike Shula.
No, it wasn't the OC then. I'm conflating. It was they were talking about how his defense was great under McDermott.
So, gotcha.
When McDermott left.
Okay.
I wish I could remember who was telling me that. But anyway, anything to pile on Ron, I'm all about.
He also had Rob Chudzinski as his OC there.
Chud.
And he had Norv.
That's right.
He has no talent. Like no discernible talent. He's a media guy. He's a talker. He should have been a bartender.
He's not that.
You realize a bunch of head coaches have offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators.
Yeah, I'm just saying he doesn't even have defensive chops. Like he
was a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. Probably had great players. If he ever had any success,
so he gets discredited for having good players.
He's just wrong about all of it. It's fine. The guy had some good years. He put together pretty good staff.
We should all fade.
He went to a Super Bowl.
Staff here was brutal. Worst staff
today. Here it was.
Speaking of the staff, we should all fade Wisconsin this year because Jack Del Rio is a special advisor to their head coach.
Yeah, that's just
fade the Badgers.
That's just a paid gig to do nothing. He's a consultant. I
mean, yeah, he's a consultant.
Yeah, you're gonna sit up there in a box and
just
pound Miller Lights.
Yes. Yeah, sure, but
fake job.
His stink is now on the Wisconsin program.
I agree with that.
His stench, he's bringing that to Madison.
Don't ever scorn Eric.
By the way, I don't think we hated his staff by the end, but I don't think when Ron took over, we killed his staff. He had Jack Del Rio on the staff.
Yeah, we learned.
Okay,
we learned. I learned.
But they didn't have it was the talent. It wasn't necessarily the staff as much as
the
talent.
The most truthful thing he ever said.
Well, towards the end it was.
The quarterback.
It's the quarterback. That's what it was. Could anybody have won with the quarterbacks
he
had?
He was completely at fault with
that. I'm agreeing with you there.
It was his fault.
But in terms of the coaching, could anybody have won with the array of quarterbacks that they had?
He was responsible.
They would have won more games than Ron. Yes.
Maybe a couple.
100%.
Couple.
100%.
They had the worst defense in the NFL, JP.
That too. Last season.
They were bad.
Look, I don't want to be in the business of defending Ron, but he was not complete.
Del Rio's defenses weren't
always bad. Dan Quinn's resume right now is eerily similar to Ron Rivera's when he became the head coach of the Commanders.
Dan Quinn is just, I can already tell, is a better leader than Ron. I can already tell.
Just all we ever heard about Ron coming in was leader of men.
Yeah. Everything about him is
false bill of goods.
Everything is fake.
But we're sold.
Hey, do you want a Ron story?
Sure.
Yes.
I think this was the Dolphins game. They're getting smacked at halftime. It was it wasn't like 28-0.
Tyreek Hill went nuke on them.
And so the players are in the locker room. They're all pissed off, and you know they're trying to rally. And Ron comes in to the locker room, and he addresses everyone. And he says, "Guys, for the second half, let's go out there and have fun."
Guys.
That was his message.
That was his halftime speech.
Didn't he also do the halftime no talk one time?
Yeah, I
can't remember which game that was.
He told the Bears game.
The Bears game.
It was maddening.
Dude, I'm telling you.
You're
actually a team EB. Yeah. He's blows.
Yeah. He told his players to go have fun.
Yeah.
Go
have fun.
You got to make no adjustments, no accountability.
Watch Tyreek Hill streak down the sideline. Yeah. Have fun with that.
He's an empty vessel. He's charming, and that's it.
Let's go out there and have fun. Like they're 12-year-olds.
He's a charming guy. Jason likes him. Jason Bishop likes him. Eric
As a
Bickle,
guy, I like him.
Eric
yes.
Bickle thinks he is brutal.
You know, I'm going to watch him.
I didn't
just
say
for
I didn't think he was.
Purposes.
Hold on, I didn't say I didn't think he was brutal as a coach and as a yeah. as a personnel guy. He was.
Yeah.
But as a guy, as a person, yeah, I do like him.
Sure.
But you don't. You can say you do, but you
no,
don't.
No, I don't care.
No, you don't.
I just don't care.
All you actually
listen,
care.
All you got to do is listen how you talk about
him. If you didn't care, you'd be ambivalent. You get passionate.
Well, because
you hate him.
Because he was so bad. Everything was fake.
The only guy
him.
You maybe hate more is Eric Bieniemy.
Bieniemy was. Because people just aren't being honest. People were trying to act like Bieniemy was some sort of godsend to offense.
Later in the show, we've got Mercedes Moné joining us in studio. She's an AEW wrestling champion. Bill Roth, Virginia Tech play-by-play, joins us too at 9:45 here on the Junkies.
Mr. Bickle, we should give our high school some props here. 9 former DeMatha Stags made a 53-man roster this year.
Pretty amazing.
9. So Rodney McLeod, Cleveland.
How many Roosevelt cakes?
How many current guys Roosevelt in the National Football League?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess the number probably rhymes with Hero.
Hero, right.
But
Hero.
I don't know that. I mean, I could be wrong. Now you're forcing me to do a deep dive.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, hold on. Rodney McLeod, Cleveland. Juwan Bentley, New England. Nick Cross, Indy. Chase Young, obviously the Saints. DJ Turner, Vegas. Marshawn Lloyd, Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Ola Oluwatimi, Seattle. DeMarco Hellams, Atlanta. Josh Wallace, the Rams. 9 guys. Oh, and by the way, DeMatha plays Archbishop Spalding tomorrow. Archbishop Spalding's number 1 in the post. DeMatha's 3. Archbishop Spalding's quarterback, Malik Washington, is going where?
He a Terp. Loxley locked him in.
I can't believe Spalding's
in,
number 1. That's crazy.
I think they're number 1.
God
yeah.
bless him.
Now, not from Eleanor Roosevelt, but where my oldest went to high school. And where my son goes to high school, Chop Robinson was a first-round pick.
That's
from
right.
Quince Orchard.
That's impressive.
How many Quince Orchard got a great football program. How many do they have in the league right now?
No idea.
Probably have a decent amount.
By the way, we do boast, I think, one active player, Isaiah Prince.
Nice.
Offensive lineman, if he's currently on a roster.
Don't sleep on Isaiah Prince.
Don't sleep on him.
What did he play last year?
Says he was with 3 teams between 2019 and 2023.
That
hoping
means,
he's making it to 2024.
That means he's probably out.
I'm going to have to look. I'm going to have to Wikipedia him. See if he's on a current roster.
So what about the Dina? What your high school? What did you go to? What was
Chesapeake.
Name? Chesapeake? You got any ballers?
No.
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 No, you don't even need to Google, like, you know.
No.
Oh, Isaiah Prince is in the UFL. Just trying to get there.
He's
Let's
a pro.
Go, Isaiah. Let's go, baby.
You can do it. You can do it, buddy.
Make that next step, my friend.
Our football program, while we were there, was mediocre.
That is correct.
Our buddy, Dr. Z,
I think mediocre
I believe,
is a generous
hey, we'll
term.
I believe Jermaine Lewis.
Yeah, I believe he started at center, and he was probably 170 pounds.
We'll always have Derek Harvey, who was a very high pick.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do a lot in the pros. Derek Williams, I think also a former Roosevelt Raider. Went to Penn State.
That guy that went to Penn State?
Thank you.
He was a big bust in the NFL, though.
He didn't do much, but he made it.
Right. That's true.
We got some guys. Not as many
so anyway, just wanted
guys.
To give props to the boys.
We got some guys.
Where is Archbishop Spalding? I've heard that
it's like
Park, maybe
just out like Millersville.
Millersville, okay.
For some reason I never knew where Spalding was. I always heard about Spalding.
Don't know anything about.
I think we had a kid that we grew up with whose mom was maybe a principal at Spalding.
Yeah,
I just never knew where it was. Off of Crane Highway.
Okay,
got you. So not that far from Bowie.
Yeah,
I mean I've been there.
Yeah,
I've never been there. Arundel a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Never been to Spalding.
Arundel has baseball guys, right?
They're known for
Denny Nagel.
Denny. God, I wonder what he's doing now.
Pull. I don't know any currents.
I am amazed by Cakes' Iron Maiden t-shirt collection.
I have a lot of them.
It's amazing.
I can always have more. Can always get more. Because some, they get faded after a while. They get a little bit beat up. Got to keep replenishing.
My wife literally wants us to get a dumpster to throw out stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's like, we just got too much stuff. We got to get rid of it. Do you ever get rid of clothes?
Sure.
You do?
Of course.
Hey, EB, I had a, it's not on Venmo. There's no sort of money hustle.
All right.
Well, but somebody said.
Gotta work harder.
He said, your boy EB is always a complete a-hole to this guy, Kevin. Uh-huh. It's not even funny. It's kind of weird, honestly. He goes, I know y'all have history with Kevin, but he pretty much ruins and interrupts the interview every time. You should tell him to ease up. I was in the middle of, honestly, switching stations. I was so annoyed. I wanted to hear the end of the Harrison Ford story.
Really? Did I interrupt the Harrison
Ford? Yes, you did. I actually called Kevin back after the segment to get the end of that story.
What was it?
So my buddy's not the only one interrupting him
and bullying him. Like, that's 100% right. You're being so mean that he stopped talking about Harrison Ford.
All right, what was the Harrison Ford story he was about to tell?
He was breaking down how he got to Harrison Ford.
How
the first interviews he bombed because he was a fanboy. Yeah. And he was asking about.
Yeah, and I asked him, how did you break him down? I actually asked him. I was
sure that you got distracted and you started being mean to him. And then
Bruce Willis.
That was it. Yeah.
But I'm the one that veered him off because I remember I asked him.
It was either you or JP.
I think it was JP because I asked him.
It might have been a group effort.
Yeah, I asked him, how did you break him down? I was actually interested in that.
I know, but then somehow the Bruce Willis thing derailed him.
Yeah.
Which he asked us to delete from the podcast because he doesn't want it to go viral.
Right.
Oh, geez. I do bully Kevin. It's a character flaw. I bully Kevin.
I told my buddy.
I've accepted it.
He's been a punching bag for 20 years.
We're all guilty of it.
The kid knows I really like Kevin.
It's like a bullying layup line.
Yeah, it's just, you got to get your reps in. And it's just.
You gotta flex the
muscle. What was the answer, Drab? What is the ending of the Harrison Ford story?
If you want the end of the Harrison Ford story, send a cameo to the Bit Season.
Way to monetize it.
You're learning from the master, aren't you? You're learning.
It's my turn.
Yeah. You're learning. Good for you.
It's gonna be like the autistic kid story. Never gonna know the ending.
No. They just want to capitalize.
Yeah, and the Notre Dame helmet.
Keep them in suspense. Yeah.
And the Notre Dame helmet, you're never going
to
find out.
You go to the tape, Drab. I think JP's the one that interrupted him.
I'll go to the tape.
Go to the tape. Because I was interested in that. I wanted to hear that.
Just go to the tape. Oh, and Drabby wants to talk about how Carlos Alcaraz lost in straight sets at the Open yesterday.
I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch any of it.
I saw the headline.
Surprise.
And he blamed himself.
Straight sets.
He basically said, now listen, these guys, he lost the number 74 guy in the world, right?
Bodich, van de Zandschulp.
Those guys are still, they're all beasts.
Oh, of course.
They can lose to anyone.
There's no way he should be losing to
him. Did you see someone put $25,000
on the other guy?
No.
On
Alcaraz to win.
Uh-huh.
To win 250. $25,000 to win 250.
Wow. Oh, to win the whole tournament?
No.
Just to win the match.
That match.
Mm. So he lost $25,000.
Yes.
Jeez.
Oh, right.
Tennis, I know golf is the number one, well, I'm not debating that, grueling mentally sport, but tennis is right there. I mean, that's what Alcaraz said.
Totally.
I've always said that.
I just wasn't thinking straight, air after air after air, and he just punched out, I think.
Golf is incredibly grueling mentally, but tennis is actually even worse, I think. It's really
hard. It's really hard. I can't believe he could beat that guy left-handed on a normal night.
Right.
He's got other stuff on his mind.
The guy caught him on the perfect day. Perfect day for him.
Sometimes you're just off, too, you know?
Yeah.
Coming up next, it's Fridays with Feinstein here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.